the bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is CIO Dilemma, be a sprinter or a marathon runner. Our guests for today's show are Jane London, who is the CIO for New York City Department of Finance in New York. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Great. And we have Steve Benderzak, who is the CIO with Nortel Networks. Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
How's the weather where you are?
You know what? It's a little hot and humid, but it's very good for this time of year. No rain, which is good.
Awesome. So we are here to talk about the CIO dilemma, and we will first of all see how much of this dilemma actually exists, or this is just a figment of my imagination. Jane.
Well, I don't think it's a figment of your imagination. I think it is somewhat of a dilemma, and I think it's a leadership challenge. I was thinking before this started how lucky I am to be ambidextrous, which means my right and my left side of my brain work at the same time, and I can at least think in terms of both. But I think, quite frankly, you know, the demands of each individual organization, business organization, are different at different times, and they require different models, and sometimes even our business partners are confused as to what the right thing to do is between wants and desires and what's the right thing long-term for the business.
Steve.
Yeah, I would 100% agree. I think you absolutely have to do both, and the demands in the business today and the shifting of both economic conditions and the shifting of globalization of resources and the demands that we have to drive down and to be able to create shareholder value and yet still be able to have a long-term strategic healthy business, you know, creates a lot of challenges for many public companies. And, you know, the IT organization is just really mimicking what global companies are going through today. But I think, you know, if you think about how you can look at your IT expense from both an operations standpoint and a project standpoint and then align to the business, that's where you're going to get success. So you absolutely have to be good at both.
Now, when you say you have to be good at both, but practically, what can you accomplish at any given time? You cannot be wearing both hats at the same time and actually be rolling up your sleeves and also have that, you know, one-year-long vision of sorts.
It's interesting that you should actually put that forth on the table, because I feel for my peers who are in small organizations where they are expected to do all things, and I think it's kind of your management and leadership responsibility to make sure you identify the right kind of resources to surround yourself with to be able to handle both and to be able to actually direct the organization where the appropriate fit is, because you'll probably have some things that are for the long-term marathon kind of build out and support and sustainability with activities going on within your organization that need to be handled by a sprinter who can actually get things done fast, quickly, and make change and then be hardened later.
So would you say this show would not have existed if the people who are the CIO leader, like CIOs and or other the top IT leaders, knew or were able to successfully delegate and, before delegation, create a crew or a cabinet of sorts who can possibly take on the pieces, and then this individual can actually remain a marathon person?
Yeah, I think you clearly have to have a leadership team around you that can fill and handle all the moving parts of both a marathoner and a sprinter. If you think about your organization as you break it up, operational efficiencies and driving everything to the lowest cost per unit, and then looking at your strategic investments in terms of your overall architectural strategy, looking in terms of your long-term alignment to the business, they are definitely different functions within my group and require different leadership skills and require different types of behaviors inside those organizations. So, you know, to Jane's point a little bit earlier, you absolutely need to have the right people and have the right pieces in place And it's up to the CIO to orchestrate all those pieces.
What I agree 100%.
Now, what would you say is happening today? Is this being done out of choice or out of compulsion from the top management? Or being a sprinter and a marathon runner, if I were to leave you guys alone?
You know, I think it's out of survival. And I could look at that, not personal survival, but survival of a corporate entity who's under, you know, at any given point in time, economic conditions, competitive conditions, industry conditions, that have, you know, a lean one way or the other, right, in shaping the way your IT is reflected. I can see today, even today, organizations that their business model would require they're always in a sprint. And that's okay if it's reflective of their business model because they may, you know, start up new products and spin them off quickly or retire them quickly, and the supporting infrastructure that, you know, doesn't require something that's going to last for the next, you know, 10 years.
You know, it's interesting on that one, Jane, though, if you think about the whole dot-com boom and, you know, all these quick internet pop-up sites, et cetera, and whether it's Google or whether it was eBay or Amazon, you know, they start off as sprinters, but eventually they need to be marathoners. I mean, the long-term requirements and the infrastructure, you know, all those require basic infrastructure things that need to be designed and need to be looked at on a long-term basis as you get that type of growth. So, you know, while it was all exciting to do, you know, a quick web page and create a new business model, eventually it had to become a part of a longer-term strategy, and it had to be implemented into a business model and a sound set of IT practices. So I think even sprinters eventually have to get turned into marathoners if they're going to survive and be healthy long-term.
Absolutely, but there are companies that don't hold on to their assets long term to grow them. They start in a different space and then they mature or sell off to someone else to worry about the long term growth strategy. And
absolutely.
So my point was, you need to kind of be reflective of what the business model is. That would be the extreme side that I was laying out. I'm not suggesting that's a way, but I can envision where that would be more the norm of the sprint than the long-term marathon of, you know, a healthy, mature organization.
Now, the fact that we are seeing executive management always asking for everything to be done yesterday,
mm-hmm.
more often than ever before, two things could be happening. Either there is a strategy of the day or a seat of the pants strategy that is being brought on, or they have suddenly become too anxious to grow way too quickly. Or maybe there's something else which I've not covered.
Well, my perspective is there's also a set of expectations that have changed over the last 10 years with the entrance of it just being the norm that everyone in an organization has technology. You know, pretty much has technology. And so the understanding of what it takes to have good sound plumbing is quite different than having my home PC that I think is great, and why can't my IT organization be as quick as Excel is easy to use, right? So I think there's a little play there that also adds to the dynamics, which is expectations by, you know, what has occurred without recognizing the investments that are made by some of these large corporations to make sure that those tools that we provide to individuals are easy to use and somewhat different than what we're able to deliver for business applications.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, Jane, which is really interesting. And, you know, where we are looking at this dilemma here with the Nortel as well, and that is, you know, the home experience with, you know, cable modem technologies and the variety of different technologies that can get plugged in at home, and, you know, with the iPhone, et cetera, and now you expect to come into the enterprise and have these same tools and these same disruptive technologies and capabilities, and nobody had to think about security and manageability and, you know, scalability of all these things. And you're constantly driven between this balance of, you know, what's the end user experience that they are getting for $25 a month versus coming into the enterprise. So I think you bring up an interesting point. But getting back to the original comment, and that is, you know, the business constantly asking for more. And I think, you know, what IT organizations need to do better is to get their portfolio management aligned with where the business is going, and more specifically, get the business leaders in driving the portfolio of projects and making the right trade-offs of capital against benefit. And I think if you can get those two things aligned, you can start to both slow down the never-ending daily requests without any consequence in terms of benefit or what it does to the balance of your organization in terms of resources. But you also can start to get better alignment in saying, hey, if I've got 500 projects, I may drive a $10 million return. And in reality, if I do 50 well, I may be able to drive a $40 million return. But you've got to get that business alignment. And I think portfolio management is the key to many IT organizations moving forward, and that is making sure that it's aligned with the business and the projects that they do internally.
I absolutely agree. I just spent the last year getting a governance and a portfolio management organization set up within the agency that I worked, you know, and chaired and kind of led by the business to ensure that they were partners in the prioritization and understanding the real value and the real cost of what they were asking for on a daily basis. That just, you know, looked like the lightning bolts coming from the sky. So you and I are exactly on the same page. That's a prerequisite to actually, you know, driving the right kinds of investments long term.
Now, given the speed at which we want to change as a business and in turn want IT to support and move at a warp speed, what is the level of immunity that is granted if we make mistakes?
Well, I think there's a certain risk to moving fast, and I think as long as you have, as I talked about, the right governance and the right business alignment, mistakes are okay, but they have to be risk and they have to be aligned with and agreed upon as a community. Where I think IT organizations get misaligned or get in trouble is when, you know, they go fast, they implement something that's, you know, 80% of what was originally required, and they didn't do that in conjunction with the business sponsors. So I think going fast is okay. There is a tolerance for not being perfect. As long as you can get the majority of the benefit and the majority of the business aligned with, this is the risk that we're willing to take.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and listen to Jane about what does she feel about the level of immunity that is being granted to the CIO and or the IT leader if they are to be a sprinter. Please stay tuned.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and the Grow Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Studies show a clear link between organizational success and quality of leadership. It takes a deep transformation to become an extraordinary leader. Executive coach David Lesser introduces you to gifted experts that have achieved these transformations and brings this wisdom every week on Executives in Transition. Heard every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time and 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Network. Tune in to discover how much there is to the leadership field and bring forward the fullness of your leadership capacity.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. We are talking about level of immunity granted to a sprinter if they were to cramp a leg and or they're moving too fast. And we are referring that to being a CIO and trying to bring about quick changes. You can make mistakes. Are you allowed to, Jane?
Well, I think you need to make, you know, when you take on, depending on the size of a project, you've got to decide on the investment side whether, you know, you can take on the risk. Obviously, when you're doing small sprinting projects and that create value, there's a little bit more tolerance for risk. But if you're betting the whole business, I bet there's not a lot of tolerance for risk. I think you need to look at your portfolio and you need to look at your resources and you need to communicate directly with your senior leadership about setting some portion of IT away for the creative juices to be able to prototype and work with new technologies and disruptive technologies to show what's possible and roll out some new technologies that can add competitive advantage to an organization.
Like in our family, I would tell my son that it's okay to make mistakes. Please don't repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Is the same sentiment flowing through all the way from the top management through CIO to the folks who are somewhat lower in the chain of command?
I think certainly mistakes happen within the IT community, but repetition of those mistakes is something that certainly within my organization we can't tolerate. We got to learn from those mistakes and know what happened. So I would agree with you.
All right. So we have been always, as individuals, as people, have seen in ourselves, okay, we are good at one thing, not as good as another. So would you say some sort of a self-diagnostics we could do to see whether we could take on certain type of roles, and accordingly it will allow us to choose the kind of company that we want to work with, where I would be more of a marathon runner versus a sprinter and vice versa? And a follow-up to that is that, can we do somewhat similar diagnostics and career path, selection for our crew? Steve.
Well, I think, certainly from a career perspective, there are different types of CIOs out there. I see them in three camps. One is the CIO that is extremely good in the operations aspect of what we do, keeping the infrastructure up and running, developing applications, rolling things out. I see the second class of CIO is, that plus having good portfolio management, good understanding how to do change management, good understanding of how to roll out projects, and really try to get that change inside the business. Then the last group is really that group that can sit at the table with the CEO, with the CEO's management team, and actually help drive and shape business strategy, help drive and shape where the business is going. And I think you got to look at your own self prospectively and say, where do I fit? Not only in terms of what I think I can do, but where have I been asked to sit at the table, either during my career or where am I currently being asked to sit at the table? And that should help you drive towards, am I a marathoner? Am I a marathoner that can drive value for the company, that can drive vision, that can drive strategy? Because if you are, then you will be asked for and will be gravitating to that pretty naturally. So I think there is a way to self-understand where you are. It doesn't mean that your organization can't have both. You may be a sprinter and yet have marathon people around you who can help you with the strategy and the vision and the communication of that and working with the business. But I think there absolutely is a way to understand the value that you bring and where you feel comfortable.
Right.
I agree. But I also think that there are some I wouldn't say tests, but I'm a student of managing by your strengths, and you know, kind of have rolled out to at least my leadership team, and in our agency we've rolled it out, which is identifying. There's tests to identify people's strengths, and you can kind of actually look at people's strengths, and if you manage to those rather than trying to just make their weaknesses better. Because, you know, you want to be able to leverage the things that you're strongest at. I think you can help guide people into any one of those three buckets, depending on what their strengths are.
Now, while you would do it as a leader yourself, do you get a choice to do that?
Do I get a choice? I absolutely get a choice to do that. I get that by managing my own career. We all get choices to do that by managing your career. It doesn't belong to anybody else but you.
So basically you're saying that if an organization that you go into and you may feel from the outside before joining that there may be a chance for me being a better marathon runner, and that's what your natural strength is. So of course you will join it and, you know, enjoy the honeymoon period there where everything is going good. But then suddenly they change course because of business demands.
Absolutely, and that's where I think, I mean, if I personally look at myself, I love to actually go into organization as a change agent, a company that is under stress and wants to actually create change. I'm a very bad Maytag repair woman. I cannot stand just being bored when it's all said and done.
So you're basically saying that's the breed of CIOs who can be successful, who are literally mercenaries.
No, I'm not saying all of them. You need to look for your opportunities, and you need to recognize for yourself, for your own strengths, which is if the company requires a Maytag repair person to sit and just keep the ship running, that probably is not going to keep me happy in my career for any length of time. And so I would personally match my own career and look for an opportunity that I could be passionate about.
Yeah, and I will also argue that the Maytag repairman CIO, you know, of yesterday can be outsourced tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Integrators, you know, what's happening in other parts of the world, Eastern Europe, India, China, et cetera. You're just going to break, fix things, and you're going to be good at keeping the lights on and driving operational efficiencies. You know, the IBMs and the HPs of the world, they do that for a living, and guess what? They do it a lot better because that's what they're good at. That's what they make their living at. I think where IT organizations and CIO leaders add value is understanding the business, understanding the industry, driving strategic directions, leading change, driving change. You know, the art of IT is not implementing IT systems. The art of IT is how do you do change management, how do you do organizational readiness, process redesign, and getting the management team to see the vision and the strategy that you're driving and then lead the business to that. And I really think you're going to see a significant shift. And you're seeing it today where, you know, for example, myself, I not only run IT here at Nortel, but I also run business shared services, which happens to be the transactional arm of HR, of finance, of procurement, of travel and mobility, et cetera. So it's more than just the traditional role of keep the lights on, be good in terms of IT infrastructure and capabilities. New breed of CIO has to be a change agent, drive the business. And to your point, Jane, you have to love it.
You have to be passionate.
If you hate it, you're in trouble.
So would you say, given, in fact, Steve, you picked up this example of giving out the non-core, the boring Maytag repair kind of work to the big guys out there who kind of take that as an outsource, and you become an R&D and innovation head and keep churning out the next best thing, which will allow the company to go to the next level?
You must be good at managing that relationship.
Okay, so you would say that, okay, you become the liaison between the business and that IBM or the HPs of the world, but at the same time, most of your time should be going into that R&D lab of sorts, or where you can churn out innovation one after another, which will give some top-line growth and also bottom-line savings to the company.
Yeah, no question. I think that's the model in which where a lot of us are heading. You need to have good organizational skills inside the IT organization that can manage what you can outsource or what you can outtask, and, you know, whatever the percentage is and what you want to do, whether you keep something in-house or outsource. But you need to make sure you got a team that can go manage that, drive it, and get it as efficient as possible. And then you need to have a separate part of your organization. I think the CIO role, probably 70% of my time is not on operations. 70% of my time is trying to create value for the company.
So would you say that this is making or converting all of us from being more of marathon runners in the earlier days to more sprinters now as a role?
I think you just have to balance it. I think, you know, to getting back to the early part of the conversation, it has to do with where your business is and where your business is aligned. And I think each industry is different. You know, you take the finance industry 2 years ago, CIO at Merrill or Goldman or one of those big guys, they're just trying to figure out how to drive more value, how to keep up with the growth, how to grow with the expansion. Go talk to those same CIOs today. They're talking about how do I take $2 billion out of my IT expense. So, you know, you've got to be able to shift with the business economy. You've got to be able to shift with the changes that are happening with the business. So it is not a one-size-fits-all. It is how do you adapt, how do you change. And in both scenarios, you're driving value for the corporation, whether it's driving cost out of the bottom line because your business is in trouble, or keeping up with growth and trying to drive new innovation and new value so you can add more customers. Both, you had that same challenge at the hat in terms of running an IT organization, just different timing. Jane?
I'm looking at that and saying maybe we've chosen the wrong word when we say sprinter as opposed to I need someone who's excellent in operational, you know, that marathon or the operational side to drive that side. But what you really need in your CIO is someone who's a futuristic strategist who can sit at the business table and understand the real underlying drivers of the model from a business perspective so that they can use their creativity, use their what they know about technology, keep abreast of technology to actually look for opportunities and pockets to help the business grow.
Yeah, that's a great point.
The sprinter might not be the right word. There might be some things that you come at along the way that are emerging technologies that you will need operationalized as well. And they need to be kind of, you know, managed that way. But it's the thinking side at the business table that is what's really changing. And I don't think that's necessarily just about sprinting.
Tell me this, though. Both of you and many other IT leaders who are in these roles and who are totally enjoying this ride because you're passionate about it, are you seeing the same passion with an HR executive sitting in one corner filing papers and or doing something like that, or a programmer? Can they keep up with your sprinting? Are they supposed to keep up with your sprinting, or they get fired?
I always worry about that every day, that I might break an organization as someone that has the first time in government, having moved from the private sector in. You know, because I'm asking for so much change in not only the technology, but just in the thinking on how we support the agency and support the constituents here. So it is a challenge, and you have to balance that, and you have to figure out who wants to come with you on the journey and who's capable of coming with you on the journey.
Hold this thought. Let's come back from the break and discuss this more, because there's definitely supposed to be some strategies that will allow the people who want to be sprinters as the IT leaders or executive management, but they also have to keep the organization together and not have a lot of burnout. What happens, what is actually happening, what are the strategies that are working and what are failing? Let's talk more. Please stay tuned.
Money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Everyone faces conflict at home, at work, in the community, in the world. This show is about how to fix those conflicts with practical tips and techniques. Doug Knoll brings to the Internet airwaves the first of its kind, a show that teaches peaceful resolution to life's daily battles. That's Fix Your Conflicts, broadcasting live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832.
Evol, delivering global IT talent. That's www.evol, A-V-V-A-L, evol.com. Visit today.
Self-leadership is an important part of corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Wachovia Bank, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So we are talking about the sprinter running at 100 miles an hour, so is executive management. What happens to that programmer sitting in one corner or a business user? Are they interested or do they have the ability to cope up and or keep up with the speed of change that we are trying to bring about? Jane?
Well, you know, I think that, again, managing by the strain, so I'm sitting in a situation right now where I have an organization who has some very old technology. We're about to replace and modernize much of it, and not everybody wants to learn the new technology. But, you know, as I've said, that's okay, because I need some people to support this as we actually, you know, are building out the new platform. But those that want to join, and then I've brought some people into the organization that I call them, they're the racehorses that have been, they're in the gates, been foaming to get going for several months now, because it takes a little bit of time in government to get these things underway. It's balancing both, right, to make sure that you have the right people in the right positions as you're looking to drive change, and understanding who's a marathoner and who's a sprinter. And not asking your sprinters to sit and do marathon work, or ask your marathoners to actually try to be really creative and handle the sprint-like activities. From a business partner perspective, I think, you know, when you balance and you've got to do the marathon work, which is get something that's stable for the longer term, you need to be able to think of some very creative ideas that actually satisfy as well along the path. Otherwise, people get somewhat bored with a project that goes on for some period of time, but some of your marathon projects take some period of time to get them implemented if you want them to be you know, stable and sustain you for multi-years.
So, Steve, you and us and everybody knows that bottom-up adoption is the way to go if you ever want to get anything done. The speed at which you would like to bring about the change in addition to what executive management wants to do, are you able to get that bottom-up adoption, especially at the speed at which you would like to?
Well, I think that's that's the role of a good CIO from my perspective, having the right leadership around them that can drive change, that could drive at the speed that you want. To Jane's point a little bit earlier, putting the right components in the right place. And by the way, you may actually start to switch resources. I find that people that have been on projects for a long time and spend a lot of time either on the road, away from the homes, and long weekends, they want to get back into some sort of maintenance role. And that was the thing that they were begging to get out of when they got into the project role. So, you know, if good management can rotate resources on and off depending on, you know, where they're best fitted. But, you know, good CIOs can create visions for organizations, create what I call the burning platform. And it's all about change management and change leadership. If you can get an organization to see that the end state in terms of where you're moving is better than where you are today, they have a reason to row there. When you don't communicate and you don't have the right vision, you don't have the right communications, and they just see it change for the sake of change, you're not going to be as effective. So clearly it's having the right people. And then, you know, it's having the guts and the tenacity to, when you don't have an organization and you don't have people that want to change. And, you know, IT organizations are famous for We love to drive change. We hate changing ourselves. try to implement a standard on a, you know, a system programmer's laptop, and you say, well, I can't have a standard image. I'm different. And you say, well, why isn't the CEO and the CFO and everybody else different? Why are you different? And the IT organization just doesn't like change. It's just the nature of what they do, but they're real good at changing other people. So, you know, IT leaders have to be good at that. Get the right people in the right place, you know, where you have individual pockets or groups of people that don't want to change, then, you know what, for their own sake, you've got to change them and move on. And I think communication and vision is very, very important.
We did a show sometime back where the title was My CIO is an Alien. Okay, and the whole idea behind that was exactly where you are trying to bring about change at a warp speed, and you are literally running over their bodies and are not giving them a message which they understand, and you're too aggressive, then a water cooler conversation between two IT people, two programmers, or one IT and one business user, or two business users, either they don't know you or they don't like you.
Right.
So in that whole race of you and executive management trying to get things done like yesterday, are you becoming an alien? That's the question.
No,
how do you balance that?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a couple of things. First of all, you know, as you're going in and driving change, communications of the wins are really important. Look, every team wants to win. Every team wants to be successful. So as you see, driving change creates wins, momentum, whether it is something that is splashy, like when I was at DHL and we integrated Airborne and you saw the yellow trucks and you saw the banners, great, fantastic. Everybody was proud of that from an IT organization. But during the 6 months of pain to integrate the two organizations, you know, everybody was, you know, your head's down in the project and you're like, okay, why am I doing this? So I think it's important that you communicate the wins and you put those banners up. The teams want to be successful, and I have the saying that success breeds success. So you have
Absolutely.
To continue to communicate the wins, drive the wins, and get everybody's momentum behind it, because when they're in the storm, it's hard for them to see where you're going. And again, it gets back to communications, it gets back to leadership, and fundamental change management.
Dude?
I would absolutely agree the importance of both the upward and the downward communication in an organization. When we talk about whether, you know, our business leader or our staff thinks we're aliens at time, that's probably a lack of communication or honesty or openness in of discussion to the organization. I call that the dancing elephants upstairs. You know, when the elephants are dancing, it just makes a lot of noise to the organization. So if you haven't delivered clarity of vision and a direction and the opportunity for individuals to feel that they're contributing to something that's going to be tremendously successful for not only the IT organization but for the organization for which you work, I think it doesn't matter how great, whether you give them sprinting technology, they're likely to build the wrong thing, or marathon technology, they're likely to build the wrong thing in the wrong place if the communications isn't really strong and the vision compelling.
Now, whether we are marathon runners or sprinters, would you say we are better off delivering reality or perfection? And more so in case of sprinting, because we got less time.
Perfection is the enemy of movement forward. There is never perfection.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think I don't care what you do, how well you set up your user requirements, your project management, whatever you want to call scope definition, there is absolutely no such thing as perfection. There is management and expectation setting and will drive to success, but never a perfection in terms of getting to what people really thought when you started something.
So you're saying that there's a moving target in terms of what the expectations were, and they never signed off, so that project will never get done.
Well, that's not necessarily so. It depends how large your organization is. I mean, you can always set expectations, and you kind of ask this, that's a multi-answer question, which is, you know, is it more important to have perfection, or is it more important to be open and honest, depending on what the situation is? I mean, I don't think you can not have a major change program or technology replatform program that isn't going to have bumps in the road where you have to, you know, reset expectations along the way.
So in simpler terms, would you say that management, and say in particular here since it's a CIO-based show, IT management, is that more of a game that we have to play where we are setting expectations, resetting expectations, managing perceptions, and that's what makes our role successful?
Steve? Well, I don't know if it's a game. I think it's leadership. I mean, you know, we're dealing with people lives and millions of dollars and shareholder value, et cetera. So, you know, I see it as leadership and driving and managing through the various things that you on a daily basis. You know, we talk about management and we talk about expectation setting. It is not about either lowering expectations or increasing expectations. It's about sometimes 80% of the value halfway through a project and delivering and getting up and running quicker sometimes is more beneficial to the company than getting 100% perfection 6 months later and you're meeting the green screen versus the blue screen requirement of one user. So it's about trade-offs, and it's about managing those trade-offs to optimize and get the most benefit for the business.
Well said, sir.
Okay, so let's talk about the tenure of a CIO. We know that it was around 4 years. Now it's reducing even more. And there are different factors which are causing this. People get bored or they get burnt out or something like this is happening. Would you say us converting ourselves from being a marathon runners who are having those, you know, the blueprint of the next century to what we're going to do in the next 3 months is kind of causing this? Or is it the result of that particular change of business which is causing us to become sprinter, which in turn is causing us to get burnt out? Jane?
Well, I think there's a couple. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jane.
I was going to say I think it's the latter, where the business pace of change is going faster and there's a requirement for IT to actually be a little bit more nimble and flexible in supporting that change. You know, so I think it's a combination of both. I mean, technology is the place that I grew up and love it, and the pace of change is one where sometimes that's even too fast for us for me to stay up with, and it's only going to get faster, right? The time windows have gotten shorter and shorter and shorter.
So we wanted things to go faster, but when it goes beyond a certain point, then we lose. I mean, we're not able to, you know, cope up with it, and then we move on. But if it is slow, then it's boring for us, so we move on. So what is that healthy balance?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors into it. You know, I think you can hear the passion from Jane and myself that, you know, driving change and being in a static organization that isn't changing or trying to be better would not align our personal career paths. But, you know, there's a lot of reasons why CIOs change. A lot of reasons, by the way, why CEOs change, and sometimes that causes a CIO change. But when you look at it, you think about you have a certain pool of CIO executives that are out there that can drive the type of change and leadership that we're looking for, and we absolutely are on demand as industry and requirements change. So there's a lot of things that are out there that are causing the turn besides, you know, asking the CIO to leave a company.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and talk about whether a CIO or an IT leader could be more successful if they were opportunists or the typical brand that a CIO carries, that is, they are strategists. So let's see, in this new day and age where we have to get things done yesterday and we have to be moving fast, what will work better? Please stay tuned.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
grunt?
Yeah, be like, there you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa provides homeowners and investors eager to invest well in real estate the knowledge, resources, and tools necessary to generate significant wealth. Our focus will be the paradigm. Live where you want. Invest where it makes the most sense. Listen live to the brightest minds in real estate investment every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. That's Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa, where America learns to invest.
The Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. Opportunist or strategist, what would you be if you are a CIO and dealing in a very competitive business environment where the expectation is that you will deliver? Steve.
Well, I think you have to be a little bit of both. You have different stakeholders within your business. So, for example, within my organization, I support the supply chain team. I support sales and marketing. I support the finance and back office functions. Each one of those has different opportunities in the supply chain team, driving costs out, driving efficiencies, being real opportunistic in terms of driving costs out, pinpointing and going and doing it quickly is one set of alignment. In the sales and marketing team, driving strategies around customer retention, driving new channels to market, et cetera. So I would say you have to be a little bit of both, and you have to be able to understand your stakeholders within your company. By the way, you better understand your CEO and the way that CEO likes to both communicate and have and talk in terms of what the company is. Many CEOs are operationally focused, some are strategic, came out of the sales and marketing organization. So I don't think it's one size fits all. I think the CIO that could adapt to the different stakeholders internally and make sure that they can drive value for each one of those stakeholders and really be aligned with the CEO of the company, I think is extremely important. That requires both skills.
So, Jane, do you think if there was a CEO we were talking to on this show and we asked him, would you like to have the IT leader be a mercenary or someone who's going to take their own time to do the right thing, what do you think the answer is going to be?
I think they would want both. And so I don't think that, but I don't know that we can actually expect an individual to be both, and I would go back to leadership, which is, you wouldn't ask your CEO wouldn't ask the person who is the head of sales globally to actually be the CFO either, because that might not be the right use of the skills. It might be if that's where they grew up, but I think that one needs to recognize what kind of skills you need around you. So I think you need to have both. You need to be able to at least appreciate both. I mean, I love new, exciting challenges and some of the things with Sprint and doing things strategically to help the business. But boy, did I go out and hire the right person to actually manage payroll, because I never wanted to call on Friday night saying there's no way checks are coming out for the employees. So, you know, hired a totally different type of person, that person who was a marathon to take something that needed to be actually up and running all the time. You make sure you have the right person in place for that. I don't want the creative person who's going to put us at risk doing that piece.
Do you think that if we were to go more on the sprinting route, would it take out the political battles that we fight if we were to really run as a marathon? Because the requirements change, people change, expectations change if you leave anything dragging for that long. But you don't have time, literally, for these political agendas to develop and to flourish if you are in a sprint mode. What do you think, Jane?
I don't think that a large organization can survive in a total sprint mode, that you will tie yourself into knots eventually if you don't have some thought of architecture and long-term stability, you know, as we talked about in the beginning. So I don't think it's an either-or. I think it's a mix of both, and making sure that you're at the table and asking, you know, the business to participate in setting priority of the investments.
So, Steve, do you think there would be we could avoid politics if we could go the sprint route, at least for the projects where you could not afford to have politics?
No, I don't think you ever avoid politics, and I would just call it business alignment. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to drive value for your internal users, your customers, shareholder, et cetera. So, you know, I don't think you ever avoid that, and you just absolutely have to be good at both, and you have to be able to drive it. Because even if you focused on a sprint, as Jane is saying, I don't think that you can just be a sprinter in a large organization. Let's assume you come into the company and you spend the first 6 months just sprinting. I guarantee you a year from now you're going to be talking about things like scalability. You're going to talk about things like compliance, data security. It's going to bite you in the butt somewhere. So you absolutely have to have a good balance.
If you were that single dimension, you'd be probably out the door in 8 months and have a very short career.
Yeah, but I will tell you this. You cannot take a role, start a role, and just be a marathoner and spend a year talking about things that you will do or might do and planning. That will cause you big trouble as well. So you absolutely need to have both, especially as you're establishing credibility, as you're establishing the DNA and what the IT organization is going to be all about. You have to get in, have to sprint, show some wins. You have to be flexible, even in mature organizations. As new leaders come in from the outside into your company, you have to set a set of expectations around what value does the IT organization bring. That may mean you need to sprint for a while to get that credibility that allows you to do that long-term planning, that allows you to take some time and do some things a little bit long-term. So, again, there really is not one-size-fits-all, and you need to be able to do multiple things at multiple times with multiple stakeholders.
So I'll go back to my statement in the beginning. Thank God I'm ambidextrous and both my right and my left side of my brain work.
Okay. So one last question very quickly. The folks who are trying to groom themselves like step-up candidates for CIOs, since they're not living it today and the life has changed, they have not seen the marathon side, they've not seen the stable or the long-term approaches as much, going in, what type of grooming and how can they get that kind of grooming where they're ready for this coming, you know, fast world that they're going to be facing? Steve?
I think Jane hit a little bit earlier and talked about, you know, some of the self-diagnostic tests that are out there to understand your strengths and make sure that you absolutely can use those strengths to be best you can. Are you good at communicating? Are you good at leading teams and driving visions? Are you good at speaking at the C-level? Are you good at working with customers, speaking to boards, all those things? And when you identify those gaps, you then can figure out, what do I need to go do those gaps? So, for example, if I'm not a good communicator to large groups of people, go speak to universities, go speak to high schools, go speak to large groups, and go find ways of practicing and learning and getting those skills much better. If you are really good at the communications aspect and you're really good at some of those broad things that you need as a leader, but maybe you're not good at operational excellence, maybe you're not good at doing the sprinting things and driving good project discipline, project management, doing all the things that you need to be very, very successful while you're sprinting, then get yourself inside of some of those projects so you can learn some of those skills. You can learn the what I would call the gut feel around how do you manage the organization and knowing when things aren't quite right because people aren't telling you everything they need to tell you. So I think understanding your skills, understanding that you need a multiple set of skills, and then going to figure out how to work on it, I think is very important.
Jane, very quickly.
I'm in agreement with managing to people's strengths. I wouldn't necessarily tell them to actually get it. They might get exposed to some of it, but I would groom people by having them become more aware of understanding what their weaknesses are and how do you actually support yourself, which is not to have everybody around you be just like you because the world might be a scary place. And make sure that you know your weaknesses and then build strength in the areas that you're weak around you to help learn and make sure that, you know, collectively as a team, you're the perfect organization.
Thank you so much again, Jane and Steve, for your thoughts.
Thank you.
Yeah, so today's CIO's role has changed with added responsibilities, which we see is fine, but is it worth pushing this individual to roll up the sleeves and get things done? I guess the CIOs may succumb to some of these pressures, and instead of preparing and managing their crew to handle the execution, they may jump in themselves, which is not the greatest thing to do. So what do you think is happening in your organization? Do you see sprinter or marathon runners as your IT leaders? Please let us know. Views at CIOTalkRadio.com. That is views at CIOTalkRadio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog Aul, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.